This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, we are in a series called The End Times, amen? And we are in the end times, glory to God. And I really believe the rapture's upon us, amen? And I believe that Jesus is going to rapture those that are faithful and submitted and committed and ready before the 7-year tribulation. You believe that today? Amen. And so I love this. So this is actually going to be, I know some people are wanting me to go weeks and weeks on this, but I'm just doing a broad stroke on the book of Revelation. Is that okay? Because we're not going to be down here. We're not going to be down here. We're going to be up in heaven. But I want to let you know that it's not really a walk in the park. That the 7-year tribulation is not a walk in the park. It's going to be pretty bad. And some people think it might not be that bad. Amen. Where we're in America, we're away from all the other countries, so we're going to be safe in America. Nobody's going to be safe anywhere. Amen. And God's angels will execute, in the book of Revelation, will execute 21 judgments that will hit the earth. 21 judgments. And the 21 judgments will affect everyone on the planet, even people in the United States. Amen. And so even, have you noticed last week that I believe there was a forest fire in Canada, and just that little bit of smoke affected us? It was a lot of smoke, and it affected a lot of people's breathing. Just think that, just a little bit of that. And we're not in the tribulation yet. So just think about that. So I was thinking about that. Wow, you know, just something so far away can affect us here. Amen. And a lot of people don't realize that most Christians will be martyred for their faith. So if you're believing to go through the tribulation, you got a martyr spirit. Hallelujah. You're ready to be martyred. Amen. And I love this scripture because we look at the scripture quite often when I'm speaking on the power of speaking faith-filled words. And this is one of my favorite scriptures, but it is a tribulation scripture. And I never looked at it this way, but it's Revelation 12:11. And it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." Notice the end of it. They did not love their lives to death. I like what the Amplified says. It says, "And they overcame the people in the tribulation. They overcame and conquered him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, for they did not love their life and renounced their faith even when faced with death." Think about that. So that's powerful. That's powerful. So we are people that will not renounce our faith no matter what. Say, "I'm not going to renounce my faith. No matter what." So God's judgment on the earth is a 7-year tribulation that I believe, you know, some people think, why is God allowing and going to cause all this mayhem to happen? I will tell you why. Because he wants to harvest of souls. God, the whole reason I believe for the 7-year tribulation is to bring a harvest of souls in that tribulation. And probably would not come about unless the judgments came. Amen. And so God is a good God. He's looking to save people and not to destroy people. And so his whole goal is to save people. And I know the rapture and the 7-year tribulation can sound like a downer. Oh, wow, this is pretty bad. But it's the whole goal is for the Lord to save souls in the 7-year tribulation. Now, let me back that up with this. And in Revelation 7:9-10, it says, "After these things, I look and behold a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and the Lamb." Amen. Notice it says a great multitude which no one could number. And then in Revelation 7:13, it says that the one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation, washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Wow. So the tribulation, really, it's about winning souls, not about judging people. Now, judgment is there, but God's whole goal is to get somebody saved. And if God has to allow judgment to get somebody saved, then so be it. Allow him to have some judgment. I want some judgment in my life if it gets me saved. Okay, I get a witness in the house today. And so we got to get an understanding of the greatness and the love of our God. And he loves us so much, and he loves people here, and he doesn't want anybody going to hell. He wants everybody saved. Amen. So the tribulation is to get people saved. That's a good revelation. That's a good revelation. So more than, it's not because God's mad at us. Amen. Or mad at people. It's that God wants people saved. It's more than half the population will die during the tribulation. Here's a couple of scriptures that reveal that fact. When the Lamb opens the fourth seal, I heard the voice. This is Revelation 6, 7, 8. The voice of the fourth living creature say, come. And look, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. And they were given power over the fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beast of the earth. Wow. So we see here that a lot of people, a fourth of the earth, in Revelation 9, 18, says, and a third of mankind would be killed by three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. I thought I would encourage you this morning. Amen. And the fourth and the third come to about the half of the population. Amen. So half the population. If you think you want to be down here when half the population is going to be wiped out, I don't think you want to be here. Amen. I think you want to be ready for the return of Jesus. Amen. Jesus will come back and before this 7-year tribulation. Amen. And I like this because it says here, Jesus is going to come back before the whole earth is wiped out. It says in Matthew 24, 22, in those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, the days will be shortened. Glory to God. Now let's review a few moments about what I went over. The first installment of the series, I gave some convincing proofs that Jesus is coming back to save us from the coming judgment that's coming on the earth. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 18, it says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven and with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then he who is alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So you should be comforted this morning that Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back sooner than we think. Amen. The second installment, we talked about the Lord is going to create a new heaven and earth. We talked about the timelines and of what's going to go down, and we're going to have a new heaven and earth. The lion's going to lay down with the sheep, glory to God, with the lamb, and it's going to be amazing, glory to God. No more death, no more crying, no more tears, and that's going to be amazing. Amen. And so we talked about really the seven churches last week. And we talked about how you can fine-tune for the return of Jesus. How many people might need to fine-tune for the return of Jesus? In other words, maybe just fine-tune a little bit just to get a little bit better. Amen. We all could get a little bit better. Amen. Glory to God. And I like this in Revelation 3:8. It says, talking about the Philadelphia church, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Amen. So this is saying that this church may not had everything going on it. It might not have been a church that was blowing and going. It might have been a church just coming to, just making it. Amen. And but they said they had little strength, but they kept God's word no matter what. You might feel like you have little strength. You might feel like you may not have much to offer. But as long as you stay with the Lord and not deny His name, no matter what you're going through, God will meet you. Amen? He's marching with us. He's marching with us. Because you have kept my commandment to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial. Notice that. I'll keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Amen. That's powerful. So we see here there's two keys in these scriptures. The first key, if we're going to be rapture-ready Christians, or if we're going to walk in the rapture reward, we have to have perseverance in our lives. We got to be people that persevere. And I like that. So we must learn to persevere through the trials of life. And that's what the Philadelphia church said. They persevere. Persevere is to continue to, it's a continued effort to do or achieve something despite of difficulties, failures, or opposition. Amen. Think about that. So you're going to keep going. Yeah. I'm looking at Energizer Bunnies today. The Energizer Bunny keeps going and going and going. I don't know if you ever saw that commercial or not. I might be dating myself, but Energizer Bunny. Amen. And you guys are Energizer Bunnies. You're going to keep going and going no matter what. To persevere, you must move forward to walk with God no matter what you're facing. I like what the Apostle Paul says about moving forward in God. He says it this way, "Brethren, I do not count myself as apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press." See, this faith walk is a press. We got to be pressing into God because the world is trying to press God out of us. Amen. I'm going to say it again. The world is trying to press God out of us. The world is trying to keep us from moving forward. The devil's trying to hinder us, but we're going to keep pressing towards the goal for the prize of the upward call. Notice it's an upward call. It's an upward call in Christ Jesus. So we need to keep pressing in. That's what persevering is doing. It's pressing in and pushing forward to see God's victory in our lives. Amen. And then he said, not only is perseverance or working in being having a rapture reward, but holding fast to what you have in Christ. You got to hold fast to it because the devil is trying to steal whatever good thing that God has given to you. Amen. I'm going to try that again. The devil is out here and he's trying to steal whatever good thing that Jesus has paid for us to have. And Jesus paid for us to have divine health, glory to God, prosperity, glory to God, and great relationships. Jesus paid for us to have these things. Amen. Especially a great relationship with the Father God. Amen. So you must hold fast. Somebody say, I'm holding fast. Amen. I love that. So I love this because we need to hold fast no matter what, because the devil is trying to do everything he can to rip the blessings of God away from us. Do you believe that today? In Hebrews 10:35, it says this way, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Amen. And this is a rapture-ready scripture as well. Because if you read the next verse, it says, for a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Think about that. It's talking about Jesus coming. That's all attached to this scripture. I never saw that before, and I read this scripture many times. But I never noticed that this is a rapture-ready scripture. Talking about that we need to not cast away our confidence, because it has great reward, and we will receive the promise of the rapture of our bodies in that sweet by and by. Amen. Now, then he goes on and says, now the just shall live by faith, but anyone who draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Amen. And then he goes on to say, but you are not those that draw back unto perdition, but you are those that hold on to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So none of you are drawing back. Amen. Each one of you are pressing in to the things of God, to the greatness of God in your lives. Do you believe that today? So today I want to give you keys where we're at in our timeline in Jesus and the coming back of the Antichrist coming on the scene. Amen? In John, it says here, in John 14, it says here, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And he goes on to say, in my Father's house there's many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go prepare a place for you. So Jesus is preparing a place for us. And he says, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and I'll receive you to myself. That's where I am, that you may be also. This is another rapture ready scripture. And so Jesus is preparing, I believe, a mansion for each one of us. You may or may not get a mansion down here, but God is preparing a mansion for you up in heaven. Glory to God. You believe that today? Amen. I know some of you ladies are looking for a mansion. Amen. My wife is house hunting right now, and she's looking at a house that it's like, man, if God could just help us get this house. Amen. Amen. I mean, I'm thankful for the house that we're in. I love my house. Amen. But she's always kind of looking. Amen. Hallelujah. It's all right to look. Amen. Hey, glory to God. And this is the signs of the end of the times. In Matthew 24, they asked Jesus, they said, when is the end of times? And Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and disciples came to him privately telling him, tell us, they said, when will this happen? And when will the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. And will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumor of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and these are the beginning of the birth pains. Amen? And then he says this, but the day and the hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And I believe he's talking about the rapture of that Jesus coming back, that not even Jesus knows that when he's coming back, but the Father. It's appointed by the Father. Amen. And so when people try to tell you, I know when Jesus is coming back, don't believe them, because they're probably wrong. There's lots of people that were wrong. There was a book written in 1988, and it was 1988, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Will Come Back in 1988. Amen. I don't think that book's in print anymore. I don't think they sell that book anymore. Amen. It was a big seller in 1988. The guy sold 1 million copies. He made $1 million. Amen. And a lot of people were reading this book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Is Coming Back in 1980. That's a good title, isn't it? Amen? But I'm telling you, that book's not in, I don't even think you can buy that book on Amazon anymore. Amen? And so people are always predicting the return of Jesus, but don't get deceived. He is coming back sooner than we think. There are many signs that reveal that Jesus is coming back. I want to focus on some signs today. Thus, my message subtitle, Signs in the End of the Age. First sign is increase of wickedness. There's an increase of wickedness. I can't even go on my Facebook without something bad coming up on it. I don't even like to come up on Facebook, amen, with something trying to pull your attention towards it. Not coming against Facebook, it's these ads that come up, amen. And it says here in Matthew 24:19, increase of wickedness, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all the nations because of me. And there are people all across the world. It's called the persecuted church. And there's people being martyred across the world. We may not see it here, but it's happening. It's happening all across the world that people are being martyred, amen, even as we speak today, for their faith. And it says here, and at that time, many will turn away from the faith. And I believe they're talking about this in the tribulation. Many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm, notice that it says the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Somebody say perseverance. We are persevering no matter what is going on in our lives. In 2 Timothy 3:1 and 5, it says, mark this, they're talking about in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. People will be lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. Where's the kids at this morning? Okay. Unholy, without love. Amen. For unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal. This is a big list. Not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of gold, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And he says, have nothing to do with these people. So there are people that really they love themselves more than they love God. And that's the way this world is coming to. But I'm telling you, not the Christian. The Christian loves God more than themselves. Amen. In America landscape, America Christian population is on decline. Even though the world is still growing, Christianity in America is declining. Wow. Why? Because I think a lot of times it's too easy. In America, it's easy. You don't need a pastor to pray for you. If you're sick, go to the doctor, right? Get a prescription. Get a pill for pain. Amen. And I'm not against all that. I think all that works in healing. But sometimes we disregard the power of God in our lives. And we gotta allow the power of God to work in our lives. Amen. And I love that. So there's lots of things that they're on the rise. A family's not in the perfect will of God. You know, people living with each other instead of getting married. One-parent homes. This is not God's best plan for the family. Amen? And so God wants a godly family and godly children, glory to God. And so I love that. And really, you got same-sex marriages. It's going on. Sexual immorality, gender confusion, people not knowing who they are, pro-choice right for abortion for any reason, homicides, drug abuse, alcohol abuse. Amen? These are things that are happening. Over 450,000 people live in Virginia Beach. Wow. But not and we don't have, and only 40% of the people say that they are Christians. 60% of the people in Virginia Beach are not going to church. Can somebody say harvest time? So it is harvest time. I'm telling you, you probably have neighbors from the right and left that probably don't go to church. Amen. Amen. You probably know some people. Amen. So what do we need to do? Well, what we need to do in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, we need to get humble before God, pray and seek God's face and turn from our worldly or wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal the land. And so I love this. And he says, and my eyes will be open and ears attentive to their prayers offered in this place. So what do we need to do? We need to humble ourselves. We need to start praying. This nation is in shambles. And we need to get God in people's lives. Do you believe that today? We are closer to the return of Jesus than ever before because of technologies and because of the internet, glory to God. Things can be broadcast in minutes over the internet. Hallelujah. And in the great tribulation, there will be two witnesses in the tribulation, and they will be sent from heaven that will speak on God's behalf about Jesus and salvation. And these two witnesses, it says here, Revelation 11:3, will be appointed by two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days clothed in sackcloth. And the two witnesses will be sent from heaven Some believe the witnesses could be Enoch and Elijah because they were the only two that were raptured in the Old Testament. So Enoch and Elijah is going to, I believe it's a good possibility they're coming back. And they're coming back to preach because they were raptured. Glory to God. And now what happens to the two witnesses? They get killed. They get killed. They get martyred. Amen. And so that means that they didn't escape death. That means that God wanted them to have resurrected bodies. Oh, I'm going somewhere this morning. God wanted them to have resurrected bodies, so he sent them down here so they can preach, get more rewards, and then get martyred and get the martyr's crown, and then get a resurrected body on top of that. Is that pretty awesome? Then from those people, tribes and tongues and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And the two witnesses were resurrected, taken up to heaven in a cloud. It says, now, after 3.5 days, Revelation 11, 12, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood up on their feet, and a great fear fell on those who saw them, and they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and the enemy saw them. This is a great testimony that even death could not hold these saints down. Amen. That's powerful. And I'm going to say this to you this morning. Death cannot hold a saint down. Death cannot, no death can hold us down, glory to God, because the life of Jesus Christ is dwelling in each one of us. Amen. We know that we are closer to the return of Jesus because they have technology that they can put a chip in your hand or your forehead. They can put financial and medical information in a rice grain. I think in a rice grain size chip that they can mount. Amen. In Wisconsin, a few years back, they required their employees to have a chip in their hand to work there. I think I would have resigned. Amen. And the pandemic, they had to try to force people through their companies to get vaccinations or risk losing their jobs. I don't know if you remember that. They were trying to force military people to get vaccinated or be discharged from the military. This could be a test bed for the mark of the beast, trying to force people to get this mark in the Great Tribulation. But thank God we won't be here. Amen. We won't be here. Amen. The second sign, I believe, will be the spread of the gospel. In Matthew 24:14, it says, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. There are 193 sovereign nations. There are 7,000 languages in this world. We are closer to getting the Bible printed in these different languages than ever before, and it's being done through Bible apps on the internet. And so this is powerful. 7,000 languages. Think about that. The Bible is being translated on these Bible apps that people can get a hold of. Amen? We are a revival more than you think. There are more people that came to Christ in the past 50 years than the almost 2,000 years since Christ's birth, the church. In 1970, there was 1.2 billion Christians. Today, there's over 2.3 billion Christians. Think about that. 2.3 billion Christians. It basically doubled in a matter of 50 years. Amen? And today, it's 2.6 billion. Christianity, by the way, is the largest religion in the world. Christianity is the largest religion in the world. I'm telling you, these other religions that are growing pretty fast, Christianity is the number one religion in the world. Guess what is the best-selling book of all time is? The Bible. So who's winning? God is winning. God is winning. God is winning. People are getting saved. And the Bible is the best-selling, not the Book of Mormon. Amen? The Bible. Glory to God. Here's another sign. Amen? Therefore, when you see the abomination and desolation spoken of the Daniel, the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. The abomination of desolation is when the Antichrist will set up a statue of himself in the temple for people to worship him instead of Jesus. Daniel reveals everything that will happen through the prophecies. Let's discover some more signs of the times. The book of Daniel is a prophetic book. The first six chapters is history. The second six chapters of Daniel are prophecy, and all of his prophecy has been fulfilled except for the seven-year tribulation that will be coming in this very soon. Amen? So all the prophecies in Daniel has already been fulfilled. Think about that. Except for the seven-year tribulation. It says in Daniel 12, 1 and 4, at this time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands, watch over the sons of your people, and they shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the time. At that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Talking about the rapture. Some of them to everlasting life, some shall to everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament of those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up these words and seal the book until the time in the end. Amen? So what are we doing? We're shining like the sun down here. We're shining and we're turning people to righteousness because of our witness for Jesus Christ. Somebody say, I'm a witness for Jesus Christ. And then he says, many shall run to and fro, knowledge shall increase. I noticed that last phrase, many people will go travel to and fro. So increased travel and increased knowledge is a sign that Jesus is coming back sooner than we think. Amen? Amen. And here's another powerful scripture. It says, and I heard what he said, but I did not understand what he meant. So I asked, how will all this finally end, my Lord? But he said, go now, Daniel, for what I've said is kept secret and sealed until the time of the end. Saints, many will be purified, cleansed, and refined by these trials. But the wicked will continue in the wickedness, and none of them will understand. Only those who are wise will know what it means. So here we see here that in the tribulation, it says here that many will be purified, cleansed, and refined by the trials of the tribulation. Think about that. And we're here, we're already in the process. Our trials is walking with God today, no matter what is coming against us. That's the reason why we've already gone through it, amen? But in the tribulation, the saints will be purified, cleansed, and refined, but the sinner will continue in their wickedness. Some of them won't turn to God. And so what we need to do here in 2 Peter, it says, but the day of the Lord is to come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything done, it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? We ought to live holy lives and looking forward to the return of Jesus. So we need to be living our lives holy unto the Lord. Amen? And it says here in 2 Peter 3, 14, so then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Amen? So what is the Lord looking for? He's looking for a spotless, blameless bride to come for before the tribulation. Amen? So what do we need to do? We need to follow God and not culture. We need to follow God and not culture. It says here in Romans 12, 2, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed, but a renewing of your mind, proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to the way the world does things. Do things God's way. Endeavor to live your life according to what God wants you to live it. Amen? Here's another rapture scripture. And this tells me right here, and this will tell you that Jesus is coming back before the tribulation, because in Matthew 24, 37 and 44, it says this, as it was in the days of Noah, it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day of Noah entered the ark. and they knew nothing about what would happen until that flood came and took them away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, the other left. They will keep watch because you do not know the day the Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at the time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have his house broken into. So you must be ready because the Son of Man will come at the hour which you do not expect. Amen? So this is interesting. When you read this, it's saying that everything will be happening as normal. People will be given in marriage, all this. When the tribulation, everything's not going to be happening like normal. It's not going to be normal life. In the tribulation, you can count down when Jesus is coming back. Amen? But you can't count it down when Jesus is coming back now. You know the seasons and the times, glory to God. So the Lord is waiting for the harvest to come in. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone come to repentance. So what do we need to be doing? Well, we need to be a witness, as the Lord revealed in the book of Acts. The Lord has empowered each one of us with the Holy Spirit, and we need to understand that Jesus' return is imminent, and he's coming back sooner than we think. And we need to not only get ready, but get our family ready, get our friends ready, get people ready for the return of Jesus. We discovered in this series that Jesus is coming to rapture church before the tribulation. We also discovered that Jesus is coming back for those that have the oil filled looking for his appearing. We discovered to receive the rapture reward, we must persevere and hold on. We discovered that Jesus could come back any moment and we must be ready. And we discovered the tribulation is not just a walk in the park. It's going to be the worst time in history for all mankind. And thank God we're not going to be there. Thank God, hallelujah, that we're going to be raptured and ready for his return. Somebody say, I'm ready for his return. Glory to God. Did you receive it this morning? I know you did. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you that you are raising up a Joshua generation. You're raising up a generation that will seek your face, Lord. And we know that you are raising us up a spotless church without spot or wrinkle, full of love and faith, doing the works of Jesus. And I thank you, Father God, that Exceed Life Church will be that rapture-ready church. Maybe you're here in the audience. Maybe you are watching online and you never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Well, today is a day of salvation. You may not have another opportunity. So I want to lead you in a simple prayer and just pray this simple prayer and mean in your heart. Say, Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe if you prayed that simple prayer, you got born again. Welcome to the kingdom of God. If you're here locally, come on out. Be a part of Exceed Life Church. We'd love for you to be here. If you're not here locally, then find a good church home that will help you move forward in your walk with Christ. Keep tuning in so you can build your faith in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.